This is the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. David Tewksbury talks with the local coaches.
I want to make this point. We're here to compete for and win NSIC championships, position ourselves to compete and get into that tournament at the end of the year, play in the playoffs, and position ourselves to play for a championship.
She makes us better just by who she is as a teammate. Really proud of everybody and how they played today.
Players.
You do it again here tonight. Walk me through that final one.
It was just magic. Like, I don't know what happened. I was just in the moment. I heard coach say, like, go for two, and then I end up shooting the three anyway, so I was just happy it went in.
Media members and so much more, covering all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Okay, somebody is going to have to explain that to me, because that just makes absolutely zero sense.
And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Happy to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420. On the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Encourage you to download the Hub City Radio app today. Take us wherever you go, or the 605 radio app. And of course, you can also dial in on your internet browsers and tablets and all that good stuff there at hubcityradio.com. It's a Monday installment of the show here on FSA, kind of a potpourri. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Definitely a lot of sports on tap for sure here today. We'll go from the gridiron to the ice to the hardwood to this, that, and the third. I'm telling you, man, we got a little bit of something for everyone here today on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury riding solo with you, sir, or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears on this Monday installment of the show. Matt McClure is off today. He'll be back in studio with yours truly tomorrow, as we'll also have an Aberdeen Wings Weekly that's on tap for your Tuesday as well. So looking forward to that. We'll get to the jump here in just a few short moments for a loaded sports weekend. Oh, by the way, your Minnesota Vikings are 10-2. Got a little dicey there yesterday, didn't it? Vikings, Cardinals, all right, the Cardinals have had a good season, and then they go up to the Pacific Northwest. They kind of get their lunch handed to them a little bit there this last week. You knew they'd be fired up and ready to go to get their season turned around, but get their kind of playoff push turned around. They are in the midst of an NFC West crown push, and you knew going into that game yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings that they would be ready to go. And you guys know me. I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan. I'm watching the Seahawks and Jets game there yesterday. But I was eyeing the Cardinals and Vikings game pretty closely throughout the afternoon and seeing the score. Okay, it's 9-6. It's a pretty nip-and-tuck game. Defenses are doing their thing there a little bit. And then I kind of put my focus on the Seahawks and the Jets game pretty hardcore. And then I look up and I see, uh-oh, it's 19-6. And, oh, by the way, my Seahawks are losing. This could be a double whammy. My team is going to lose to the New York Jets, a team that's just been an absolute tire fire all season long. And to make matters worse, my second team, if you will, and here we are in Vikings territory, the Vikings, they can't help me out from my Seahawks perspective. And then, lo and behold, about a half an hour, 45 minutes go by, the Seahawks come away victorious. The Minnesota Vikings come away victorious. So all good stuff there. And the Minnesota Vikings are poised and primed for a really good chance at the playoffs. No two ways about it. Sitting at 10-2. And you just never know. You never know. They are certainly in the mix, potentially, for that number one overall seed. Tukes, how could you say that? The Vikings are 10-2. That's really, really good. A first-round bye, is that possible? It's absolutely possible. Because why? They're only one game back of Detroit. And also, don't forget, Philadelphia, at some point in time, towards the tail end of the season, they are going to fall off, aren't they? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see about that. But the Vikings do still play the Lions one more time. That is a pivotal matchup. So you never know what could happen in the NFL. Good to be with you on this Monday installment of the show. I hope you had yourself a nice and relaxing, enjoyable Thanksgiving day and a Thanksgiving weekend, as it were. My family was in town. My mom and dad were in town, and they cooked up some phenomenal Thanksgiving food. I tell you what, I went to town. And I will tell you this, I did not watch much of the Lions and Bears game in the first quarter. I thought this would be a runaway. And then I kind of look at the scoreboard. All right, well, okay, I'll dial in. It's 16-0 at halftime, but looking back at it, it really should have been probably 25, 26, 20, could have been 28-0. And then somehow, some way, the Chicago Bears find a way to get back into that one there. That actually turned out to be a pretty interesting and entertaining game. I did not watch hardly a lick of the Cowboys and Giants game. I thought for me, that was one of those games where the tryptophan was probably kicking in. But even if that game was just on a regular Sunday, Cowboys, Giants, you've got Tommy DeVito, who is down. Drew Locke got the start there for the Giants going up against Cooper Rush. Yeah, that doesn't exactly scream must-see TV to me, but for what it's worth, he had the Dallas Cowboys come away with a victory there. Then, of course, in the nightcap, the Green Bay Packers victorious against the Miami Dolphins. But overall, all things considered, an okay day of Thanksgiving football. But I definitely went to town on the Thanksgiving Day turkey, the gravy, the cranberries, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, all that good stuff. I hope you had an opportunity to do the exact same thing. And hopefully you are still eating your Thanksgiving Day turkey or ham or what have you, because today actually might be the final day for that. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the jump here with my main man,
Mr. Unlimited.
Wait a minute, where is Mr. Unlimited? He's not here. Well, Mr. Unlimited back in studio with yours truly tomorrow, as of course, he was spending some family time out east there as well, and I hope he had an opportunity to chow down on some turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, as I certainly did there too. But that's just it. We begin today on the non-sports side of things. And we got a lot to get to on the sports side locally, regionally, as well as nationally. But this is a PSA for you folks out there. We begin today with a PSA is today, if you are still looking inside your fridge as basically playing a game of Tetris inside there, tonight's meal should probably be the Thanksgiving leftover buffet. It's been 4 days since Turkey Day, so technically today is the last day to eat your leftovers before they go bad. Some people might live a little dangerously, push it through a couple more days, but the quote-unquote experts, they don't recommend it. I mean, of course, experts have never been wrong about anything, right? So, who knows? But according to the USDA, turkey, stuffing, potatoes, sweet potatoes, green beans, gravy, and pumpkin pie still can all be safely stored in the fridge for 3 to 4 days. But after that, they might make you sick there a little bit. If you don't want to waste food, most leftovers can last a few months in the freezer, so get them there ASAP. But there is one Thanksgiving staple that will always survive in the fridge, although a little bit longer. The homemade cranberry sauce lasts between a week and 10 days. All the canned stuff can last up to 2 weeks there in the fridge. Now, I know that there's a lot of old schoolers out there that'll scoff at the four-day window there. But remember, the quote-unquote smell test, not always 100% reliable, because Thanksgiving dishes spoil faster than the leftovers because the food sits out longer in the quote-unquote danger zone than your typical meal. So just a little FYI, if you're thinking, okay, lunch, dinner tonight, more Thanksgiving, today you're probably pushing it a little bit, and then after this, you're really kind of taking your health into your own hands to a certain degree. Now, that's interesting because I will never forget Thanksgiving 2016. It was my first ever Thanksgiving as the voice of Presentation College. And the Presentation College men, we had a really, really nice Thanksgiving meal. Head coach Jeremy Regal and his wife, they made this beautiful, bountiful Thanksgiving meal. And there was all of these leftovers, and none of the student athletes wanted the leftovers. And I was like, they don't want the leftovers? I'll take some of the leftovers. So naturally, me being the bottomless pit that I am, start to down some leftovers. But before I do that, I come out to the radio station here late at night to get prepared and primed for the long road trip, because the PC women were traveling down south. I believe it was to Hastings, Nebraska, if memory serves correctly. And I left the leftovers outside in my car. Didn't think much of it. It's cold outside. I'm sure it's all good. I get home. I chow down on some more food. And then 2:30 comes around. 3 o'clock rolls around, 4 o'clock rolls around, 5 o'clock rolls around, and yours truly sick. So don't make the same mistake I did back in the latter stages of fall of 2016. That was the longest bus ride in my entire life, all the way down there to Hastings, Nebraska. Curled up, fetal position, first ever road trip. That was pretty interesting, to be sure. Okay, let's get to the sports side of things, as we've got the food stuff taken care of. Did you guys and gals watch the Bills and 49ers game last night on TV? I thought it was fantastic. Snow globe game, the 49ers lose. I'm a happy camper. My Seahawks are in first place, sole possession of first place in the NFC West. Was rooting for the Bills to down the 49ers last night, and they did, 35-10, and it wasn't even that close. But the tickets prices, they dropped between, $150+ and about $180. The tickets dropped from $213 to $67 on TickPick. And just 11 days ago, they were $213, but due to the weather, those prices were dropping significantly, almost like how much snow dropped there at Orchard Park, New York. My question to you is a simple one. Would you want to be outside in the snow for 3 hours watching your team? How much would you pay to sit outside and watch your team play in a snow globe game? Now, truth be told, I came across multiple messages on X last night saying, you know, there's no such thing as football weather. Every game should be in a dome. And I thought to myself, are you serious right now with this? This is awesome. Temperatures are in the low 30s. Snow is coming down. This is a memory that will last for a lifetime, especially if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. If you're a 49ers fan, you probably want to forget about it. But how would you not want to go to a game like that and enjoy? Yeah, it's probably going to be cold. Yeah, you need to wear a couple of extra layers. Got to keep your tootsies warm. I get all that. But at the end of the day, you are creating memories with your son. You're creating memories with your daughter. And oh, by the way, from your perspective, if you're a Bills fan, hopefully you're watching your team win a ball game there. I don't know, man. Every single new stadium, you get all these brand new beautiful renderings. All of these domes, to me, look exactly the same. You're taking the life out of life. Sometimes football was made to be played outdoors on a grass field. Now, certainly there in Orchard Park, New York, you don't get to play on a grass field. It's the field turf there anyway. But call me old-fashioned. Call me old man yelling at the crowd and the sky and the blue sky and the clouds and all that. But let me tell you, I love snow games. I think they're fantastic. You had the Browns and Steelers couple weeks ago on that Thursday night. How great was that? Jameis Winston and the memes and the viral fame that he continues to get. I love a good snow game. So, to me, football was meant to be played outdoors on grass. Call me an old man, an old curmudgeon. I'm totally fine with that. All right, let's travel to the FCS playoffs. Illinois State, they were playing Southeast Missouri State over the weekend. Did you guys see this? Over the weekend, 35-27, your final score. Illinois State wins the game over Southeast Mo. Is that significant? It's the first round of the playoffs. Will either of these teams make it to the national championship? Well, for sure, Southeast Missouri State's not going to, because they lose 35-17. But why is this game significant? Why is this game significant? Paxton DeLorean, he is the quarterback for Southeast Mo. His numbers in this game are something of video game lore. Something of video game lore. He went 48 of, get this, 85 for 567 yards. He did throw 4 touchdown passes. He did throw 5 interceptions as well. But I got to tell you, there are times in football games where teams don't run 85 plays. I covered a lot of Northern State football games this last year, this fall. 11 of them, as a matter of fact. I was there for every game. And let me tell you something. There were games where the Wolves ran 58 plays. There were games where the Wolves ran 57 plays. I don't think I have ever seen a game before in which you see numbers like this. 85 pass plays from Paxton DeLorean. And oh, by the way, they lost the game. 35-27, 48 of 85 for 567, 4 touchdowns, 5 picks. Pretty wild stuff there in that contest. And we talk about Jack Strand and the numbers that he has put up this season. You know, he throws the ball 58 times, 63 times. Paxton DeLorean says, hey, hold my Gatorade. I'm going to throw it 85 times. And oh, by the way, they lose the game, which is pretty bananas there as well. Couple more here before we get into some of the local notes. Did you guys watch college football over the weekend? If you did, you probably saw a lot, and I mean a lot, of the flag planting. What is the deal with the flag planting? We saw it so many times over the weekend, and I gotta tell you, for me, it just seems like it's a little bit too much of forced viral fame. Somebody brought this up on the internet, and I think it's so true. Nowadays, with name, image, and likeness, when these players are just basically out for themselves, certainly not all players are like that, but back in the day, you used to have teams that genuinely hated each other. Why? Because for years and years and years, these two teams, these squads had rivalries. And there still are the rivalries nowadays, but to me, and maybe I'm off base on this one, but it just sort of feels manufactured to me. Like Michigan, Ohio State, how many of those guys on the gridiron were there for all 4 years? I mean, there are some, don't get me wrong, but of those two teams, I'd be very curious to find out how many guys genuinely hated Michigan. How many of those guys genuinely hated Ohio State? Or are they just told to? Manufactured. Name, image, and likeness, you're there for a year, you're a mercenary. Do you really hate Ohio State that much? Do you really hate Michigan that much? I don't know. Again, call me old man, Tukes, you're yelling at the clouds. You win with grace, you lose with grace. If you win, you go ahead and you shake the other team's hands and you say, job well done, we'll see you next time. Kind of like, oh, by the way, Iowa did against Nebraska. Did you guys see that over the weekend? I think that was on Friday night. Nebraska, they go up to the Iowa Hawkeye there at midfield for the coin flip, and they choose not to shake hands with the Iowa players. Of course, Iowa wins the ball game 13-10 on a last second field goal. What good comes of not shaking your opposition's hands before the game? I don't get it. Now you're just giving them more gasoline to the fire. You don't need to fire them up any more than you already are for a game everybody wants to win anyways. But now you have completely got them PO'd, if that makes sense. I don't understand why any team doesn't want to shake hands before the game, even if it's your biggest rival. You guys know me, Seahawks, 49ers. Those two teams genuinely disliked each other over the rivalries that they had in the early to mid 2010s. They always shook hands before the game, and it's not a good idea. You're only going to fire up your opposition more so, which is crazy to me. And speaking of crazy, final one here. Let's travel to the D2 football playoffs. Grand Valley State was taking on defending national champion Harding, and Harding bests Grand Valley State in the ballgame 44-26. That's pretty crazy, but it all began before that game as well. Grand Valley pulls up to their D2 football playoff game with all of their players shirtless. Shirtless, yes, that's right. You got your guys out there, you're showing how tough and rugged you are, what a man you are, that's great. Is it you're being tough and rugged and you're being a man, or are you just being stupid? Like, are you just being stupid? It's 26 degrees out. It's 11 with the wind chill. What are you doing showing up to the game without a shirt on? This reminds me of the Seahawks and Chiefs a couple of years ago. The Seahawks played the Chiefs at Arrowhead. It was like 9 degrees out, and you get DK Metcalf and all the other wide receivers for the Seahawks. They're all wearing no shirt. And I'm like, you guys are just doing all this to lose anyway. The Chiefs are going to beat you guys, which they did. The Chiefs beat the Seahawks. And I'm thinking to myself, you're just being stupid. Is it mind over matter? Yeah, maybe. Or is it just being an idiot? I don't know. But at the end of the day, the shirtless guys, they lost 44-26. And finally, with that game, get this. Harding ran the ball 64 times for 475 yards, 7.4 yards per carry. They attempted one pass. That's right, one pass the entire game, and it was incomplete. So they ran the ball 64 times for 475 yards, 7.4 yards per tote. They win the ball game 44-26. You get all these offensive coordinators out there, high school, college, pro. Look at how smart I am. Look at this play I just designed. And sometimes just ram the ball right down your throat for 400-plus yards and say, we're better than you. Oh, no, by the way, put your shirt on your way back to the locker room. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some local notes. The Aberdeen Wings, a successful weekend for them. We'll talk some Minnesota Vikings football, some D2 football playoffs there as well. And I also have a couple of text messages out to some folks. I don't think we're going to get anybody on the show here today. We may or may not have a guest towards the bottom of the hour, but if not, we've got a lot to get to today, certainly right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. How would the Northern State women fare in Hawaii? We'll talk about that and more. It's all next on FSA. The voice of your Aberdeen Wings is Jay Kleinkonnect, and he has the play-by-play on 94.1 The Rock and on NAHLTV.com all winter long.
What a save as Austin went in behind the defense. It had a chance. Now the Wings going the other way. And shot it! Oh! The Wings win it in overtime, 4-3.
Aberdeen Wings season tickets can also be purchased at Hub City Radio. Give us a call, 605-229-3632. Rocking and rolling on a Monday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Strictly sports here on the Sports Hub, minus the whole Thanksgiving stuff that we did there a little bit ago. But also, if you are trying to get into the Christmas spirit, don't forget, over on Sunny 97.7 with music, courtesy of our friends there at Insurance Plus, you've got your all-Christmas station. After Thanksgiving here at Hub City Radio, over on Sunny 97.7, you've got your all-Christmas stuff over there. So if you're trying to get into that Christmas spirit, as it were, check out Sunny 97.7 there, courtesy of Insurance Plus with our Christmas music. I come from the northern suburbs of Chicago. There is a radio station out there, I think it's 93.9 Light FM. November 1st hits, and it's all Christmas. Like, what are we doing? November 1st? That's a little premature, don't you think? Some people, they have to wait until after Thanksgiving before they can get into the Christmas spirit. But November the 1st, that's a little bit aggressive to me, but that's neither here nor there. So check it out, Sunny 97.7. Okay, Aberdeen Wings. Over the weekend, they had their long holiday weekend, and typically, more often than not, that means time for family, friends, food, all that good stuff. Sometimes it means a little extra hockey, a little extra serving. And the Aberdeen Wings, a very successful, I would say, weekend for them over the weekend. And all started up on Wednesday night as the Wings would down the Watertown Shamrocks. I almost wanted to say this in straight sets. How many times have we seen a 3-0 final score? But 3-0, your final score, 3-donut, as Leo Bulgakov finishes with a hat trick there. Braun with 31 saves in between the pipes. So that's a really good start to your holiday weekend, right? Well, how are you going to respond as you bring in arguably not only the best team in your division, but maybe, just maybe, the best team in all of the NAHL? Tukes, who are you talking about? Well, how about the Bismarck Bobcats? As coming into this one, the Bobcats, 21-1. The Bobcats coming into the weekend, 20-1. They had one loss in regulation and one loss in shootout regulation, if you will. And the Wings, they would battle valiantly there on Friday, ultimately falling 5-3, your final score, and a pretty wild finish there as the Bobcats just made a couple extra plays late on down the stretch in that one. And then on Saturday, I listened to the majority of the third period in this one. Physical, high-hitting, intense, felt like a playoff game. The Wings defeat the Bobcats on Saturday, 4-1. They got a couple of late empty net goals, 4-1 your final score there. Leo Bulgakov finding the back of the rope. Cole Satterdalen also finding the putting the biscuit in the basket, as it were. Cade Moxham and I'm going to go with Gastus Zamatis also finding the back of the rope there as well. Four different goal scorers there for the Aberdeen Wings with a very successful 2-1 weekend, as they hold Bismarck to just one shot that finds the back of the rope there. 4-1, your final score. And the Wings have had a great start to the season. They've played 22. They're 14-7. And the crazy thing is, they're in fourth place in the Central Division, as the Bobcats have just been outstanding to start up the season. They're 21-2-0-1. 21 wins, two regulation losses, and one shootout loss. Absolutely bananas how good they've been. And for the Wings to compete with them at a high level, I think it goes to show you that come playoff time, and obviously you've got a long, long, long season to go, and you need to have good health, and you need to have good luck and fortune and all that good stuff, a hot goalie there too. But if we can see this matchup in the playoffs, what a matchup that would be as the Wings, they split with the Bobcats over the weekend. And I know a good rule of thumb is to sweep at home and have a weekend split on the road, but going up against Bismarck, you'll take one out of two against that team, no question about it. Staying on the ice, the Aberdeen Lady Cougars over the weekend, they would take on the Mitchell Marlins on Friday, make it Saturday and Sunday, as the Lady Cougars picking up a victory over Mitchell there on Saturday, 3-2. Alyssa Rorick, Leah Kranzler, and Addison Keller each finding the back of the rope in the victory there. And then on Sunday, a 5-1 victor there were the Lady Cougars. Two goals apiece from Allison Rorick, Addison Keller there as well. And a very, very solid victory for the Aberdeen Lady Cougars over the weekend. A couple of victories over the Mitchell Marlins. As for the Cougar boys, they would fall to Brookings on Saturday, 3-2. And then they would down the Watertown Lakers in overtime, 4-3. Micah Kranzler, the game-winning goal there in overtime for the victory. So that's what the latest looks like on the ice from this last weekend for the Aberdeen Wings, as well as the Aberdeen Lady Cougars and the boys there as well. Good stuff there, certainly. As for the Northern State women's basketball team, we'll talk about them towards the back half of the hour. But upcoming next, we'll talk with the voice of the Aberdeen Wings, Jay Kleinkonect. He'll join us on the phone line. We'll talk some Vikings as time permits as well, and the NSIC football playoffs. All of that and more is coming up on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Moving on through your Monday right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, second day of the brand new month of December. I know that kind of snuck up on you a little bit after Thanksgiving, so get those rent checks paid and mortgage payments taken care of, all that good stuff as the new month of December officially underway. We'll talk some Northern State women's hoops as they were out west, and I mean way west in Hawaii here this last weekend. Talk about that here in just a bit. But first and foremost, the voice of the Aberdeen Wings, Jay Kleinkonect, he joins us on the phone line. Jay, good to talk with you here this morning. How are you?
I am well. I'm a little curious why you didn't make the trip to Hawaii with the NSU women's basketball team. But, sorry that you missed out on that.
Yeah, no, it was nice to have some family time, no question about it. But there actually is a story behind that, and I will tell you that off the air. And if I shared that story with our listeners, I think I might be catching some serious H-E-A-T, some serious heat. So I'll keep that conversation off the air. It's a really fun conversation, to be sure. But I know that's like the biggest radio tease of all time, and I'm sorry, folks. But they had a successful weekend, a one-on-one trip for them. And we'll talk about that. But yeah, it was just nice spending some family time with mom and dad and my daughter and my wife, and just a really good time with the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes. I got to ask, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you enjoy the food? Did you indulge?
We'll talk about that off the air as well. things did not go particularly well for me. So I had some medical issues over the weekend. So yeah, it's no big deal. But yeah, let's talk about hockey.
Yeah,
though.
Let's talk some hockey. All right, we'll leave that stuff off the air, certainly. A really successful weekend for the Wings, and I said a good rule of thumb more often than not is a perfect weekend at home and to at least split on the road. But, you know, when you're bringing in a team like Bismarck, a weekend split with them is not the worst thing in the world. I listened to the majority of the third period there on Saturday, and it just sounded to me like it was a playoff game. I mean, the intensity was high. Yeah, I could hear it in your voice, the emotion. I can already hear it now. What a great weekend for the Wings. Just splitting with a team like that is big time.
You know, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It absolutely felt like a playoff game. And I know that, you know, if you're a Bismarck guy, if you're a Bismarck fan, if you're a Bismarck player, if you're a Bismarck coach, and I talked to Garrett Ross a little bit, you know, to them, not that big of a deal. They're on a 10-game heater, you know, and for the Wings, like for the first time for the Wings to see them, there was a lot of a buildup, at least in my mind, and I know even in the community, there were people that were asking me often, what's this weekend going to look like? What, you know, do you think they're that good? You know, have they had a soft schedule? Are they, you know, like, and I was like, I don't know. I've only seen a little bit of, you know, some film on them. I haven't seen a lot of, we haven't seen them in person. We don't know how we're going to stack up or how the Wings will stack up against them. And frankly, on Friday night, they played them well. They really did. Of course, a 5-3 loss, one of which was an empty netter when the goalie was pulled as the Wings were trying to stack back up. But they had the lead. They had them on the ropes on Friday night. And I was like, man, these guys, they're playing well. And you got to keep in mind, too, that the Wings are very beat up. And, Tukes, you and I have talked about this. The Wings have several key components that are missing from their lineup because of injury, to be able to play the Bobcats, who is the number one team in the North American Hockey League and the number one team in the Central Division, only one regulation loss, and to play them the way they did on Friday, I was really excited for Saturday night's games. And as it went along, as the Wings, you know, played them and like you said, in the third period, I mean, I was on my toes. I was jumping, you know, and people were making fun of me. They're like, wow, man, you're really into this. And I was like, yep, this feels like a playoff atmosphere for sure. So it was very good for the Wings to come away with that win and, you know, get two wins out of the three over the course of 4 days, but certainly against the Bismarck Bobcats, who are a top contender right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And we're talking with Jay KleinConnect, the voice of your Aberdeen Wings here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I get it. Here we are. It's the first full week of December, and there is so much more hockey to be played. This really is quite the marathon. It's not a sprint, but I just get a sense, and maybe not to put words in your mouth, but I just get a sense that this team is going to be making some serious hay this year, talking about the Wings, and health obviously plays a huge, huge factor in that. You know, coaching, having a hot goalie, all of that is certainly profited. But if things continue to improve for the Wings health-wise, I see no reason why they can't be playing some really meaningful hockey at the latter stages of April. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that's 100% fair to say. You know, this team it feels to me a little different than the last couple of years have been, and again, you and I've talked about this off the air and stuff, you know, in the hallway or whatever else, but it just, the reality is that they, they're finding ways, and there's some chemistry in the squad that, it's palpable. Like you can feel it. You can smell it, taste it, everything. There's something there. And it's a young team in a lot of ways. You know, when Willem Braun, Pennsylvania kid, comes up big when the number one goaltender, Cunningham, gets hurt in Minot, and he has a shutout on Wednesday night against Watertown, and then allows one goal Saturday night against the Bismarck Bobcats, who have forced more goals over the course of the season than any team in the Central Division. And he's young. He's a young kid, and Cunny is a veteran player that has kind of like took him under his wing and stuff. But still, I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, there is definitely something here. You've got different components, different players doing different things, stepping up. We've seen some guys that are brought in, some affiliate players who have needed to be brought in because of the injuries, who have come up big. I'll be talking with Jack McDonough from Sudbury, Massachusetts. Mm. And I'm going to fight really hard not to break out my Good Will Hunting or busted accent to talk with them. Just joking, of course. But He's done a great job. There's been a whole bunch of guys that have just really stepped up to the plate and done things that, are being asked of them that is not, like you said, it's not always the case. You know, it's guys that, you know, sometimes you need somebody to do something to fill a role or whatever that maybe they're not ready for, you know? You know, like maybe they're not quite there. But in this case, with these wings, it feels like there's guys that are you know, just at the door. They're at the door ready to say, all right, my turn. Let's go. So it's been pretty cool here so far.
And I feel like that's especially something that can be said about a very unselfish team. And obviously, Leo Bulgakov has been the guy that's had an incredible start to his season. I mean, the dude is absolutely – you talk about being on a heater, 19 goals for him in 21 games played. He's been absolutely phenomenal. And I said, you might have to start calling him semi-sonic because, you know, at closing time, Leo's going to make a play. I mean, what have you seen from him to start up his Wings career? That dude has been borderline unstoppable.
You know, living. See, I feel like I talk too much, but here's the thing. Leo is different than last year. Last year, I can remember being at the showcase in Blaine, Minnesota, his first year, and he was almost scowly. Almost like, you know, just like he was confused. He didn't know where he was at, didn't know where to go. And I would try to talk like he was coming out of the door, and I was, you could tell that he was like, and I was trying to point to him where to go. And he just didn't really understand. I think that he is on a different level on several levels. And part of that is because I think his English has improved. I think he's a lot more comfortable being here in Aberdeen. This kid's from Minsk, Belarus. He does not. I mean, there's a huge cultural shift and everything that that he's been involved with, and I think that has translated to his hockey. He's so much more smiley and friendly, and he's when I see him, he's just very approachable. He talks to me a lot. Stuff. I think somehow all of it has combined. And I'm telling you what, Tukes, this kid is a hot hand. He is a hot hand. 5 goals in 3 games. That's ridiculous. There are players that will go an entire season without, 5 goals. And like you said, 19 so far already this year. And the kid's just a sniper. He's got a wrist shot that is just, that is beating goaltenders, some of the top goaltenders in the entire league, and certainly in the Central. But Leo's just, he's feeling it. And the level of confidence that he's got and the line that he's playing on, they are working so well together. And Leo's a fantastic talent. Not a huge, stature-wise, not a huge guy or anything like that. But man, I tell you, he plays with some physicality. He plays with a mindset that it's like you can't beat me. He's just he's been really, really good, and it's only getting better.
You might have to open up your Rolodex and your brain on the all-time goal record for the Aberdeen Wings in a season, because he might be sniffing at that a little bit before it's all said and done. I mean, the way he started this year off. Being on a heater the way he is has been just phenomenal. So have to wait and see how that all plays out. Obviously, health plays a huge role in that too. But looking forward to the Wings coming up this upcoming weekend down there in North Iowa, taking on the Bulls. And, of course, we'll have JK on the program tomorrow for your Aberdeen Wings Weekly towards the back half of the show. Appreciate you popping in here on such short notice, Jay, and continue to have great calls on the season on 94.1 The Rock. Appreciate you.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot for having us. Spread the word and talk a little bit Aberdeen Wings for sure. We've got Wings Weekly coming up. That'll be an interesting to hear what Coach Langer has to say for sure, because he's always got a different perspective as most. But, looking forward, North Iowa, again, another team that we haven't seen yet. So we'll see what to expect from them, or not at least not in Mason City anyway. But, looking forward to that, as I don't look forward to a lot of road trips anymore at my age, Dukes. But this should be a fun one. So thanks for having me, and thanks for helping spread the word. And some of these guys really deserve a lot of credit, like Leo and several others. We want to get healthy. We want to get healthy and get ready to go. Christmas break coming up, and, the latter part of the season here coming up is going to be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. North Iowa, 9-11-1-1. So certainly not a bad team at all, which apparently is good for sixth place in the Central Division. Just goes to show you how good it is this year. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right, you got it. Anytime. Jay Klein Connect, the voice of your Aberdeen Wings here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Appreciate him taking some time out of his busy schedule. We'll talk some Northern State women's basketball upcoming next. D2 football playoffs. And, oh, by the way, the Minnesota Vikings are 10-2. I don't know if that's breaking news or not, but a pretty doggone good finish there in the Twin Cities. We'll talk about that and more to wrap up the Hub. Wrapping up your Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll talk some NCAA D2 football playoffs coming up here in just a few. Once again, our thanks to Jay Klein Connect for taking time out of his schedule and joining us talking some Aberdeen Wings hockey in our last segment. As for the Northern State women's basketball squad, they were out west, and I mean way west, in Hilo, taking on Hawaii Hilo there on Friday night, and then California State Dominguez Hills there on Saturday. Wolves winners there on Friday night, 72-47. Madeline Bragg, 23 points, 14 rebounds. Michaela Jewett continues to get more comfortable, I think, and confident as well in this NSU program and scheme and what have you. 11 points for her. DeConte Smith dropping in 14. Speaking of comfortable, man, she has just been just a godsend. I think she's been fantastic, not only last year as a freshman, but she's got, in my opinion, if they had the role and the award for it, NSIC, maybe even all defensive team written all over her. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but the way that she has played defense, you know, sometimes she gambles a little bit, like head coach Paula Kruger talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. But, you know, more often than not, she's making huge plays on defense with a swat or a steal. She's just been outstanding on both defense and offense there, and she's only getting better and better. The Wolves, they would fall on Saturday to California State Dominguez Hills, 60-43. This was just a couple possession ball game going into halftime, and only a couple possession ball game in the latter stages of the third quarter going into the fourth. I was following this one pretty closely, and I didn't want to jinx it too much. I was kind of following, then I took a step back. Maybe if I get out of the app or something like that, they can make a play. I got out of the app. They were down, I think, 5, maybe 6. And then in the fourth quarter, the Wolves just hit the skids. Offensively, they couldn't get anything taken care of. They lose 60-43. DeConte Smith had 10 points, a team high. Elena Beneke with 9 points there as well. But the Wolves falling in this one on Saturday, 60-43, against the 18th-ranked team in the country. And I think a big portion of this loss, to me, if I'm just looking at the box score, has got to be the foul trouble. And I feel like the Wolves are at their absolute best when their best players are on the floor. Is that a hot take? I don't think that's a hot take. Thank you, Captain Obvious. But particularly Madeline Bragg, I think when I saw, she had 4 fouls in 12 minutes of playing time. You know, last year, head coach Mike Schmidt always talks about volume. You know, Dakota Larson and Dwaylen Ingram, those guys need volume. They need volume. They need balls thrown their direction. Madeline Bragg is one of those players that needs volume. She needs paint touches. She needs opportunities for and ones. She needs opportunities for block shots and rebounds. She just needs volume on the floor. And when she's played 12 minutes and she's got 4 fouls, you've got no volume there. So for me, the biggest thing for this Wolves team, and I said this before, I think their biggest opposition this year might be themselves and foul trouble. If they can stay out of foul trouble, this team is going to be playing some really meaningful basketball in February. Maybe even March. We'll have to wait and see. But foul trouble is so, so key. They have to stay out of foul trouble. We'll see how it all plays out. Wolves will be back on the road coming up this Thursday, as they'll be taking on MSU Moorhead, excuse me, Minnesota State Moorhead coming up this Thursday. That'll be at 5:30 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Looking forward to that. The other MSU team, MSU Mankato, over the weekend, we'll talk about them on the gridiron, but this certainly jumped off the page to me. They defeated Jamestown over the weekend 85-80. Now, if you are listening to this and you're like, yeah, Jamestown, they're a pretty good team, aren't they? Yeah, they are. The Northern Men, of course, they lost to them a couple weekends ago up in Jamestown. And you're like, oh, man, a D2 team losing to an NAIA school? Oh, man, that's a really, really bad loss. Well, guess what? The number one ranked team in the country and the defending national champion only beat them by 5 points on their home floor. And oh, by the way, Jamestown over the weekend, they went on the road to Sioux Falls and they beat Augustana 75-70. So this Jamestown team, just get ready for when they join the NSIC. They are legit now at the NAIA level, and they are going to be competing, I think, at a pretty high level next year for the basketball squad there on the guys' side in particular. So keep an eye out for them. The Wolves will still take on that Jamestown squad in a couple weeks. I believe it's 2 weeks from today, as a matter of fact, at the Barnett Center. Okay, NSIC teams in the playoffs. On the D2 side of things, Mankato, somehow, some way, they find a way to eke one out as they defeat CSU Pueblo 26-23. Hayden Eckern with 2 touchdowns, 1 through the air, 1 on the ground. 26-23, your final score there. I was on my way to church on Saturday night, and Mankato just tied things up with a little less than 2 minutes to go in the game. And I had to go walk through the doors, say my prayers and all that. I come on back, and I see that Mankato comes away with the victory. They get a late interception of CSU Pueblo, and Matthew Jaeger jogs out there and kicks a 32-yard game-winning field goal on the final play of the game. That dude has a leg made of gold because the situations don't bother him at all, as he has had crucial kicks in back-to-back weeks for wins. Of course, defeating Augustana on the road last week, what was that, 20-19 was your final score there at the KO, and this time he KOs Pueblo with a 32-yarder for the win there. Elsewhere, you had Bemidji defeat Western Colorado 20-19. Sam McGath's numbers, certainly not that much to write home about. He only goes 10 of 20 for a buck 23. He throws 2 touchdowns. He was also intercepted twice, but the Bemidji State defense, they get the job done, and they defeat Western Colorado 20-19, which sets up another matchup with two teams in the NSIC against each other. You've got Minnesota State and Bemidji State in the next round of the playoffs. Very much indeed looking forward to that. Also of note, just saw this yesterday, the Saturday coaching announcement, North Dakota Athletic Director Bill Chaves announced current offensive coordinator Isaac Frichte will be the interim head coach for UND. Bubba Schweigert stepping down, so Frichte now sliding in there. Will he become the full-time coach? We'll have to wait and see. And oh, by the way, the Vikings come on back from a 19-6 deficit, and they beat the Arizona Cardinals there yesterday, 23-22. Sam Darnold with a late touchdown drive, hooking up with Aaron Jones for the touchdown there, as the Vikings are now 10-2 on the season.